All right. Father, we thank you today for this word of God that's coming forth. We thank you for our praise and worship and our love that you are doing in our hearts and our lives. Father, we thank you that we're one body fellowship, that we love one another. We invite other people to come and be part of us and enjoy the presence of the Lord. And we give you praise and thank you for the book of Colossians today. In Jesus' name, amen. The Colossians had an exaggerated regard for the observance of rites and ceremonies. They also indulged in some form of worshiping of angels. They were infected, therefore, with a heresy which seems to have had both Jewish and Gnostic elements. Paul deals with their problems by setting before them the incomparableness of Christ. In a notable passage, he speaks of what the Lord accomplished in the redemption and reconciliation and of his preeminence. Christ is the image of the invisible God. Through him, all things were created. He is the head of the church. Thus, Paul presents to them the Christ that he preached. Because Christ is such surpassing excellence, and because he has fully won their salvation, Paul can beseech them to abstain from the fancies that they have been pursuing. He contrasts the new life in Christ with their formal sinful manner of life and urges them to practice Christian virtues. Because they are Christians, they must regulate all their relationships in terms of their Christian faith. So he speaks of the way wives and husbands and children and parents and slaves and masters should behave towards each other. It reminds them that Christians should behave wisely before unbelievers. And the letter comes to an end with a series of greetings. Chapter 1, and that's what we're going to look at today, is chapter 1. Now, chapter 1 is like many of the epistles. It begins with the first part of the book, and it's four chapters. And it begins with telling you who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells who Jesus is. Ephesians does very similar. Philippians does very similar. It tells you who Jesus is. Many of Paul's epistles start like this. And then toward the end, he tells what effect that has on your life. What that effect that has on your actions, on your behaviors. But it's the acts of Jesus. It's not you behaving because Jesus is in you. You are behaving because Jesus is you. He has moved on the inside of you, and he is over in Philippians, it tells you, he is in you both to will and to do, right? So he wills it and he does it. He changes your willer and he changes your doer. Isn't that great? I love saying that. That's fun to say. He changes your willer and he changes your doer. He did that back in having to do with giving, interestingly enough, back in Exodus and also in Chronicles. And it talks about the giving that they gave for the tabernacle, you know, because they needed a bunch of gold to put a bunch of gold on stuff. Same thing with the temple. Had to put a bunch of gold on stuff, you know, in the temple. And he said, the Lord put the Spirit there was a spirit of giving that came on them, and they gave so much they ran out of room. And he said, "Tell the people to stop." That was funny. Is that, you know, they keep coming, you know, keep coming and keep giving. And he said, "Tell them to stop. We got no more room to put it all." Then he did that both for the tabernacle and for the temple. We'll see. The tabernacle and the temple are where now? In here. So praise the Lord. So now that giving comes forth from you. Amen? So don't be afraid to give. Hello. Don't be afraid to give. Janet and I were talking about something. You know, we had one point in our life where, you know, giving. We didn't know how it was going to feed everybody, you know. I mean, you know. But then God puts it in your heart to give. And we've done giving over the years. You know, and we've given when we didn't have enough to give. You know, some guy on the TV and you know, said, you know, pledge $1,000. You know, well, was he a charlatan? Was he one of those faith preachers? No, it was $1,000. It was $1,000.
Wow.
But God did it. God just, yeah, God, whoever that guy was, whatever it was a need that was out there. And God moved on my heart to give, not because of anything else, that there was a need out there. And I didn't have it, but God moved on us to give it. And God provided it. And we gave it, you know. And it just, you know, God is taking care of us. So you just give and God takes care of you. You know, God, you just give and God will take care of you. I just want you to get in the practice, Amen. Get in the habit. Pastor Jim would give. If somebody walks in the door, he just gives them money. Yeah. Amen? He would just give them money. He didn't say, hey, get the church to write him a check. No, he didn't come out of the church. He pulled out his wallet and, you know, gave the guy money. People off the street, perhaps. Or if, you know, just give. Just be in the heart, be in the heart of giving. Amen? I don't know why I'm talking about giving. Be in the heart, be in a place of giving. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He gets on the inside of you and changes you and makes you a giver, makes you a lover. Do you know you love people? You know, some people think, I wish people would be better. No, stop that. You know, don't wish people would be better. You be a change agent. Jesus didn't wish people would be better. Jesus came and just wrapped his arms around people. Jesus came to love people. And guess what? That is you. You are a lover. And again, that's what the second part of these epistles are. It's what God is doing in you to change you into his image. He changes your willer and changes your doer. Thank God I put a bow on that. I thought I had run off and left whatever I was saying. Paul, verse 1, chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Paul had not planned on being an apostle. He had planned on wiping out the Christians. He had not planned on being an apostle of Jesus. But Jesus had a different idea. You know, he told, remember Ananias, the guy, not the guy who got killed for in the giving, in the bad giving story, but the other Ananias, the one that, you know, when Paul was struck blind on the road to Damascus, he got a hold of another guy named Ananias, and Ananias goes and he comes, Jesus comes to Ananias and says, hey, I want you to go, you know that Paul guy that is in the news and hating Christians and killing them all and taking them to jail? Yeah. I want you to go see him.
Oh, no.
What? Oh, yeah. Hadn't planned on that. It'd be like if, you know, God called Moses and said, you know, hey, I want you to go see that, you know, see the Ayatollah. Hadn't planned on going to see the Ayatollah. Yeah, he's in your town and you're going to go see him. You're going to lay hands on him. I have many plans for him. Amen. Now we're talking about Paul, not the Ayatollah. So he goes into the street called Straight, goes in, ask in the house, whose house was it? Do you remember?
Cornelius?
No. The house of the guy in where Paul's at, on the street called Straight in Damascus. No. All right, look it up, because I forgot it. So he's going in, and so he's going to this house, and he says he finds Paul, says, Brother Paul, Brother Saul, God has sent me to lay hands on you that you might receive your sight. Boom. Put his hands on him. Scales fell from his eyes and he was able to see. What did Ananias do? Went home. Yeah. God just commanded him to go do and he went home. Praise the Lord. So, but this was, he was an apostle by the will of God. He said, tell him that I'm here to lay hands on you that you might receive your sight. Paul, Jesus had told Ananias, he said, I have many things, tell him there's many things he must suffer for my sake. Many things he must suffer, he must go through, he must endure for my sake. So Paul's an apostle of Jesus by the will of God. This is Paul's own testimony. And Timothy, our brother, so they're, Paul and Timothy are together somewhere, and they're writing to the Colossian church. writing to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, God, he's putting grace on them. He's delivering grace in this letter. You know, you can deliver grace through writing. You can deliver the grace of God through writing a letter. You could actually do it through an email, you know, or something. You could through a text. Grace be to you. You know, you can tell people things in text. You know, that they used to do that back in the old days. They would do it with text, you know, on this letter. So you can do that. You can tell people that the grace of God is with them, on them, for them, working on their behalf. You know, you could actually do, you could start a ministry. You could start a ministry. Hallelujah. You got a phone? You could start a ministry right there. Just texting your buddies, texting your friends, texting people who hate you. So, yes, anybody that God is on your side. You could text somebody who doesn't like you and who you don't like and tell them how God's on their side and He wants to redeem them. He wants to love them. They can put stop, you know, stop on the bottom, you know how you do. So you could do that, but all of a sudden they've already got the message. They've already got the message. And you pray that the Word of God, the seed planted, will bear fruit. Amen? You know, you guys are always bearing fruit, throwing seed. What kind of seed are you throwing? What kind of seed are you throwing? Are you throwing gospel seed or are you throwing bitterness, anger, and resentment? I'll get that guy. Yeah, no, I know y'all aren't doing that. But I'm just encouraging you, here's how you minister to somebody. You can tell somebody, what kind of seed are you sowing? You know? Because you guys have a ministry. I mean, y'all have been here too long to not have a ministry. You know, you're not just soaking up the goodness of God. You know, because you can't just soak up the goodness of God. It'll produce. The Word is seed and it produces. The Word of God will produce. Amen. Don't you know it? It will produce. Amen. We give thanks, verse 3, to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. So Paul and Timothy, they're ministering out there, but they're in the meantime, after supper, before they go to bed, we're praying always for you. Praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints. And so, of course, you know, we talk about love, you know, the love of God over in Romans chapter 5, that the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto you. So he's thanking God here for the love that's in them because the Holy Spirit's in them. And the love of God is in them. You know, the love of God is in this church, in this place right here. You know, if we were downstairs, he'd be downstairs. You know, it's not in the room, it's with us. Since we heard of your faith. Have you ever heard of somebody's faith? And then you wanted to call them up and encourage them. You know, you want to call them up. You hear somebody's all of a sudden got faith. You know, Kathy's going to call up Kelly, her friend. And then, you know, she heard, yeah, Kelly's got faith. I want to call her up, encourage her. Well, now we know about Tracy. We're going to pray for Tracy. Amen. We waited until you came back. Yeah, Janet said, can we pray for Tracy? I said, well, let's wait till Kathy gets back.
Yeah, she's not going to be able to be with us on speaker.
Well, that's okay. We'll just pray for her without the speaker. Amen. And she'll... Something will happen. She'll know we're praying for her. Okay, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints. These people were lovers. It was already known and seen. You know, same thing was true of the Thessalonians. Paul talked with the Thessalonians and he said, I don't even need to tell other people about y'all. They tell, other people tell me about you. Other people tell me about you guys. He said, man, those people down in Thessalonica, Lord, now these people over in Colossae, they are loving us. They are sending stuff our way. They're praying for us. They're meeting needs that we have. You know, so powerful. Same thing is true of the Philippians, right? So we're back to giving again. The love results in giving, right? You know, because we have resources, and the resources that we have, God will keep providing them. God keeps replenishing all your resources. Amen. Verse 5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Okay? Your love to all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. So this hope that is laid up for you in heaven, okay, and the love which is we have to all the saints, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. So this gospel, this word of faith, the word of the Lord, is just becoming strong in them and filling them up, and they're exhorting one another and blessing one another and encouraging one another, right? And so that's what you're doing. I mean, you guys, we have these text groups going all around here all the time, right? You know, so, and people are always encouraging and building up one another, you know, so powerful to do. Yeah. Which has come to you, verse 6, as it is in all the world, and brings forth fruit as it also does in you. So it brings forth fruit in those who you share it with, and brings forth fruit. Well, look at these just first few verses. Are just really talking about the ministry of the body to one another, right? And so that's what Paul's talking about. He is so encouraged and blessed. He encourages pastors, you know, to that the people are receiving the word and going out and doing it and going out and becoming a church all by themselves without having to be prodded. Okay? Which is come to you as it is in all the world, and brings forth fruit as it does also in you, since the day you heard it and knew the grace of God in truth. Okay? So over here, and this grace of God in truth, over in John 8:31, Jesus tells us to continue in the truth, right? Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So you continue in the word, and the word makes you free. The word of truth makes you free. This is the word of truth. Since the day you heard it. And as you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you, a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. So Epaphras apparently was one who had been going back and forth between Colossae and Paul in his whether he was in prison or in another community. And so Epaphras was also declaring and relating the fact that the Colossians were a people who were growing, a church that was growing in the Lord, in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. All right? Verse 9, for this cause also, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So to the end, I'll put in here the words to the end. Verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, look over at Ephesians chapter 1 for a minute. And I want to compare that passage to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith, this is Paul to the Ephesians, and we're familiar with this passage, Paul's prayer for the Ephesians, right? Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love to all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Amen. So Paul is continually praying that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you are filled with all the knowledge of his will. Now, what he wants for that is so that you daily are walking with him in an understanding of what is the necessity of every person you come across. You know, you don't have to go to seminary to know that. All you got to do is be in the presence of God and reading his word. And the Holy Spirit will give you wisdom to speak to somebody and to meet their need. That's what he's praying for them for. He's praying for them so that they may have the knowledge of the truth. The knowledge that comes from the Holy Spirit. Here he said again, here's Colossians 1:9. We don't cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of him, of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Hallelujah. He's just getting started on this book. It's a little short book. He's just getting started on it. But this is what his prayer is for you. You be filled with all the knowledge of his will. You believe that could happen?
Amen.
Yes. It can. That you might walk worthy. Okay, the walking worthy is not something you work up. It's something that being filled with the knowledge of his will does. You begin to walk worthy the more you're filled with the truth. Continue in my word. Remember what Jesus said, John 8? Continue in my word, and the truth, that the truth might be in it. The truth will make you shall know. Say it, I shall know. I shall know the truth, and the truth will make me free. It'll make me free. It'll make me free. Some people aren't free. You know, some people aren't free. They don't know the truth. They heard the truth, but they don't know the truth. They heard the truth, but then it's like the seed that, you know, the bird took away, or the seed that was on the rocky ground, or the seed that was on the thorny ground. Yeah? So God, he wants you to know the truth. He wants you to meditate on the truth. When the bird comes by, you wipe the bird away. You know, Martin Luther said, Jim's talking about Martin Luther, you know, a quote of his was, is that you can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. Amen?
Amen.
That has to do with going to school. You know, you can't stop stupid stuff from coming along, but you can stop it from getting into your brain. You know, you can meditate on the Word of God. You can compare, like a scientist, compare this to this. Compare the Word of the devil to the Word of God. And know that God is the truth. God's Word is the truth. Amen.
Amen.
So he says over here, that you might walk worthy of the Lord to all pleasing. Being fruitful, the result of that is being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. I love little verses, don't you? Little verses got a lot in them. It's like those bunker busters. Those bunker buster bombs, you know? They're not little, they're 30,000 pounds. But that's what this is. Got 30,000 pounds in it. You know? And here comes Jesus B2 coming over. He's going to drop that bunker buster right on you and blow up anything that's not the truth. That you, so that you might walk worthy of the Lord to all pleasing. And the result is that you're being fruitful in every good work, and you are in fact increasing in the knowledge of God. Verse 11, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, to all patience. What? It's kind of like Romans 5, you know. We rejoice in tribulations. What? Wait. You know, everything was good until we started talking about that, you know. I didn't know I'd have to rejoice. No, you don't have to rejoice in tribulations. You get to. You'll want to. You get to. Okay? Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. Yes. And all patience and long-suffering. So your flesh is going, I got to do some long-suffering? That's terrible. But your heart is going, amen, I'm at peace all the time. You know that what that means? Is patience and long-suffering means you're completely at peace no matter the circumstance. You're not worked up, anxious, or bent out of shape. You're rejoicing and peaceful and have no worries. No matter what you were wishing would happen. Because the living God is giving you peace. Jesus said, my peace I leave with you, not as the world giveth. Like, you know, the psychologist giving you peace. No, Jesus just gives you, not yoga. Jesus gives you peace. Remember He spoke to the sea, the wind and the waves? Peace, be still. You ever been out on a boat like that? Out on the water? And the water is it's not choppy at all. It's just like that. And that's you. On the inside, you have total peace. Him whose mind is stayed on thee hath perfect peace. That's you. That's because of the knowledge of Him. That's because you're strengthened on the inside, on the inner man, with all might. How much might? All of it. Okay. Forgot to read the last word. To all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Yahoo! Chad, it's joyfulness. Praise the Lord. Amen. Strengthened. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. All right. Look here. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7. Y'all don't have to go there. You can just write it down if you want. I told Janet today you can make a note on your phone. Did y'all know you can do that? I spoke to my car this morning and I said, hey Siri, make a note. And then I just said my note. So that way I'm not forgetting what I was making a note about. Isn't that good? You can make a note. You know, God's doing all kinds of wonderful things. Okay, over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7. So that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Okay? Now I could read the rest of that, but you get the idea, right? Yeah. Is that He wants you to come behind. He don't want you to come behind in any gift. He don't want you to lack anything, right? He doesn't want you to lack anything. 1 Corinthians 11:27. We're talking about walking worthy, right? Okay. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Now, okay, so what does that mean to to eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily and being guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. What does that mean? Is that you believe it's not that something that you perform or do, but Jesus unworthily is, well, I've got to add to something what Jesus did. I've got to do the rest, do my part. I got to do my part. No, stop it. Stop doing your part. Amen? Jesus Christ, if you have a problem with sin, go to Jesus. Don't stop. Tie yourself down with a rope. No, go to Jesus. Does it mean you can't just say no today? Yeah, you can say no today, but tomorrow you'll probably say yes. You'll probably mess up. But what you do is you go immediately to God. Go to the fire extinguisher. Don't try to blow it out. Go to the fire extinguisher. Boosh. Go to Jesus immediately. Don't hide sin. Don't hide when you're angry. Don't hide when you did something really yucky. Don't hide. Go right to God. March right in there. March right into the presence of God. Say, Jesus, and you can't even say it in church, but you can say it to Him. And you said, Jesus, please deliver me, because I know that you changed me and I'm born from above. And the power of, over in Romans chapter 11 says, reckon yourselves therefore dead unto sin and alive unto God. That's what I'm doing today. It says, sin shall not have dominion over you. Romans 6:14. Sin shall not have dominion over me. Amen? So when you're walking, to walk unworthily is to discount what Jesus did rather than magnifying what Jesus did. You magnify what Jesus did. You eat and drink this cup that we're fixing to have this communion. Is that, Jesus, thank you that you totally forgave all of my sins and you took away all the power of sin by your blood on the cross. You ripped that curtain in two, and I can walk right in to the presence of the living Almighty God and receive forgiveness and peace. And all of my sins can't even stand in the presence of God. God loves me. Amen? Does God love me? You? Say, God loves me. He forgives me. He empowers me. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we're strengthened with all might. Okay? So we're not unworthy. Drinking and eating and drinking unworthily is to not fully receive the forgiveness and the power of God, but to somehow think that you have to add to it. Amen? So here he says, you might walk worthy. How are you going to walk worthy? Because the truth is in you. The truth is in you. And so you listen. Okay? And then finally, Hebrews chapter 2 and Hebrews chapter 4, and then we'll stop for today. Hebrews chapter 2. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Give the more earnest heed. Listen to the truth, and it'll change you. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And then finally, chapter 4 says, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. So, let's pay attention. It just says, just same thing as the previous verse. It says, let us give the more heed. Listen more carefully. And here it says, let us fear. Let us pay attention to not letting the Word of God get away from, the promise of God get away from you. Okay? Saying that being a promise being left us of entering into His rest, that any of us would seem to come short of it, that we might not be walking worthy of it. I'm walking worthy all the time. Are you walking worthy? Yeah, because I believe that what Jesus promised, He's able to perform. That's Abraham. He said he believed, he was fully persuaded what God promised, he was able to perform. What Jesus promised and what Jesus did, he performed it, and it's true on the inside of you. Amen.